Welcome to the Jesus Image Podcast. We always dreamed that the Lord would pour himself out and that he would draw the nations. What an honor. It's an honor, isn't it, team? It's something we don't take lightly. And may the Lord continue to trust us and have mercy on us, huh? Well, we worshiped for 2 hours. One time I was ministering somewhere, and it wasn't somebody else's church. I think it was one of our services, and I was ready to get preaching, you know, and the set went a while, and I went to transition, and I'm telling you, I heard the Holy Spirit as clear as as you can hear my voice right now. He said, "I didn't know they were singing to you." It changed my life. He said, "More." And so we kept going. And worship, true worship, and that transcends singing and music. True worship will take you deeper than the greatest strategies. And 1 minute in his presence is a more fruitful experience than hours in church that are filled with man's strategy. Amen? There's nothing like his presence. I say it again. There's nothing like his presence. Well, before I get going here, I can't go long because the plan is that we take communion. And then I don't know how to do those countdown things. So are you doing that one, Amy? Amy will do that, and I guess we're all just going to jump around and scream, and the team will lead. I honestly, it's not my wheelhouse. It's not my grace. I don't know how to do one. But that seems like the plan. We'll take communion. Many of you will be touched and healed. Amen? And I'm praying that for those of you who are suffering with sickness, that you'll walk into the new year completely healed. That completely healed, that as we come to the table tonight, the table of the Lord, and we feast upon his body and blood, that the power of the Holy Spirit will rip through your body and heal you, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? In fact, why don't we just lift our hands right now and agree. Father, we thank you for your healing heart, and we ask you to stretch forth your hand tonight and heal your people. Let tonight be a great night of deliverance and encounter and healing. That as the children of Israel, Lord, left Egypt, your word says in the Psalms that not one feeble were among them. Let not even a weak, not a tinge of weakness be found in anybody under the sound of my voice. Heal us completely, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's thank the Lord just one more time. We've had a whirlwind of a few weeks here. Jesus 23 was, I don't think we've ever hosted an event like that. It was, I have no words. I haven't really had the time to pray into it. But I know what the Lord said. Forsake all and carry your cross. That's what he said. I don't think I've ever been to an event where the Lord said the same thing through so many different speakers. And the worship was just incredible. And you could feel the Lord's presence in the hotel. The children's services were ridiculous. I know Jess and Steph and Larissa and a lot of the speakers, I think, ministered to the kids. And they were marked just by ministering to the children. So for those of you who've never been or you wanted to bring your children, those of you who are watching, I would highly recommend coming next year to Jesus 24. And by the way, that'll be in Anaheim, California. Cali, we are coming to the West Coast for the very first time. The Lord has spoken. We are going to follow the cloud. And here's what I want from our home church here. I want us to mob into California, burning with fire in our eyes. And that'll be June the 6th through the 8th. Wow, we're already getting started. People are already registering. And this arena that we're using, it's actually connected to the Anaheim Convention Center, is the arena that Ms. Kuhlman used to use, Catherine Kuhlman. Some of the greatest meetings in the history of our country were in the Anaheim Arena. And we have had dream after dream and prophetic word after prophetic word about Jesus' image taking this to the West Coast. And we have not forgotten about Orlando. There'll be plenty of space next year for services here. But I'm asking that you guys consider yourselves to be missionaries next summer, and I want us to carry the love of Jesus to Southern California, and we're going to watch over 100 nations converge on the West Coast, and God's going to move mightily. Amen? I believe next year will be the greatest event we've ever been a part of exponentially. I feel it in my spirit. And so make sure to sign up. Last but not least, speaking of Psalm 23 and green pastures, we are hosting something very important. The Vision Cup is just 30 days away, officially at the strike of midnight. I'll need all of you to be fasting to ready your hearts. But this is our first golf tournament that we've ever held. And let me just say this. The golf tournament is a small part of it, not to me. But in actuality, it is a small part of the experience. There is a total, an amazing experience that's been crafted for those of you who don't play golf. We're going to, Jesse will be leading the itinerary for the women. There's a total non-golf itinerary. I think there's pickleball, which I don't know if that seems to be like a pillar of culture now. Pickleball will be there. But it's going to be a phenomenal time. If you do want to play golf, bring it, because it's going to be on one of the... Oh, wow. Go back to the other one. Yeah, I love the island green. That's the most famous hole in all of golf. Our friends are coming in from all around the world. If you hit a bad shot, it will make its way to Instagram and TikTok. But we're really excited about it. We're going to have a beautiful banquet. So for those of you couples who just want more time with our team, with Jess and I, and to hear more about the vision of Jesus' image moving forward, this would be a beautiful time. It'll be a formal gathering that final night on the 2nd. It's just going to be very, very special. Friends from all over America are coming to play and just be a part. And I think the women's itinerary is whatever they do when their husbands are playing golf. I'm sure it'll be super fun. So you can scan that QR code and it'll be a blast. So, all right, take your Bibles to John chapter 1. Joel, help me so we can get back in the spirit, if you don't mind. Holy Spirit, speak to us, teach us your word, and run us through, and leave us burning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before I get into the scripture, we finished Jesus 23 and then went straight out to upper room. I think we got back day before yesterday, and Jesse's session was one of the holiest sessions I've ever seen in my life. And I felt, as we were sitting down there just a few minutes ago, I felt just to kind of share the way that all took place. Allison, you were there. Their team was there. I preached the first night, and my message was just the appetizer. Jess, the way the Lord used Jess was just phenomenal. And the night before, she said to me, she said, "I don't know what to preach tomorrow." And she said, "I'm going to ask the Lord for a dream. Maybe he'll talk to me." And I was like, "Okay, you may want to figure out another option in case you don't have one." But she did. And the Lord just loves childlikeness. He really does. And Jesse has 2 dreams a week that are incredibly prophetic and honestly help lead and guide the church and all the Lord is doing in the nations. It's amazing how the Lord has used Jess. And before we started the ministry, Brian Guerin gave us a prophetic word that her prophetic gift would serve like a radar, like a navigator for this ministry, and my word, has it ever. It's really a blessing to have a wife who hears from God. And so the Lord gave her a dream that night. And she woke up, she goes, I know what I'm going to preach. I was like, no way. She goes, yeah, I know what I'm going to preach. She said, I heard the Lord say, tell them to go back to their beginnings. Is that right? Tell them about first love for Jesus. And she started ministering with tears in her eyes. And that is just so holy, so sacred. And today, as I was studying, I had the joy of just spending most of the day with the Lord. And Steph sent me a text. I'm sure she's watching. And in fact, I know she is. I think they're having like a little get together at the house, watch, and they're going to enter the new year with us. So it's really a treasure. And she said, I've been studying the Gospel of John. And I wrote back, I said, I'm reading the Gospel of John right now. She said, of course you are. It makes so much sense. And I wrote back to Steph, I said, I'm going to preach on John 1 tonight. And she said, I said, but I want to do it with weepy eyes and a burning heart. You know, tears are holy. When our team led it at Upper Room at their conference, Miller said to me, I sensed such purity on them. There was such a compliment as a pastor to hear that, such an innocence, he said, like such a childlikeness. Somewhere along the way in this thing, professionalism comes as a demonic initiative against us, and it's disguised as wisdom. Hell is after stealing our childlikeness. It's hellish. Do any of you remember the Azusa gathering back in 2016? I think it was 16, yeah, right? Back before my chin was bright white. And I was really nervous because the way I ended up there was through a dream. Lou Engle appeared to me in a dream. And in this dream, he walked up to me, grabbed me by the shirt. Now being close with Lou, it makes so much sense. And he shook me. And he said, you didn't know you were supposed to be part of the call, but you are. I woke up out of the dream, and my phone vibrated on the nightstand when I woke up. I was in Southern Cal. It was a text from Lou's team. We'd only met once. And the text said, Lou would like to meet with you tonight on the campus of USC. Can we just tell some Holy Spirit stories tonight? Just to provoke that stuff in us. We'll get to a sermon, maybe. So I get the text. It says, Lou would like to see you tonight on the campus of USC. There's a group of young people who are on a 40-day liquid fast. They're contending for a move of the Holy Spirit. Lou would like you to come preach to them. Now, I had woken up that morning. The night before, I was in one of Pastor Benny's meetings. By the way, he sends his love. He's supposed to be here tonight, but he couldn't make it. He wanted to usher in the new year with us, and we'll figure something else out. Maybe he can call in. I'm sure he will now. I was super tired, and I drove down to USC, parked on the campus, and went up to this upper room that was above a Methodist church on the campus. I didn't even know there was one. I'd never been there before. When I got to the stairwell, I could feel the glory of God wafting down the stairwell. And all I could hear were these radical young kids. They were singing off key, most of them. But I felt Jesus there. I mean, I knew he was there. And they opened that door to that upper room and his presence intensified. And I knew the leaders. I had ministered in their garage before that. An old garage in Huntington Beach. I loved that place. We used to see miracles in that garage. I remember a girl walked in. I said, I see tents in your past. You've been in tent meetings. She freaked out. Her grandfather was a tent revivalist. And I would just sit on a chair. I'd fly from Orlando to LA and preach my heart out to these hungry kids. And we'd sing for hours and hours and hours. One time I flew out there only to find Joy Dawson preaching in there an hour before my session. As you know, a queen, a spiritual mom to us, one of the founders of YWAM, she passed away. She's in heaven now. Bold as a lion. Nobody liked Joy. Think of the strongest ministry personality you know. She could put them in their pocket and do jumping jacks with them. No one liked her. Nobody liked her. Nobody. I walked in. I had flown 5 hours to LAX, which is like landing in hell, if you've ever tried that. Sleep deprived. I drive there. You know what Joy tells me? I'll be taking your session, sweetie. I'm not done yet. I thought, oh. I said, well, why are you taking my session? She goes, because I want to and I'm not done yet. You need to sit and learn. I said, Joy, I just flew 5 hours. Good, it's good for you. She said, but I'll let you hold my hand while I'm preaching. She said, sit in a chair, and she held my hand. I never felt like a bigger tool in my life. Just like sitting there. And occasionally she'd look at me and go, right, sweetie? Right. One kid. And by the way, that group in the garage soon became the circuit riders. And one of the little circuit rider kids goes, for lunch, he brings Joy a platter of cold cuts because she didn't eat a lot of carbs. And so I'm sitting there, and the little dude goes, you know, he brings the plate. He's like really afraid already. And she looked down at it. She goes, are these organic? He goes, no. He's like 16. And she goes, are you trying to murder me? And the kid's like, no, Mrs. Dawson. She goes, are you trying to kill me, son? He goes, no, ma'am. She goes, I will not eat those nitrates. He didn't even know what a nitrate was. I put my head down. I was like, this was worth the flight. This is amazing. That was the group that was pent up at USC years later, fasting. And I felt Jesus with them. And I ministered. I couldn't find Lou, though, in that little room because the kids were standing and it was messy. We need messy meetings again. It's easy to pastor a funeral home. I remember one year, I won't say the name of the event because you could go back and figure it out. A group was leading worship for us, opening night. On their last song, the Lord came. The whole room knew it. Their manager said, we're done. I said, what do you mean? Jesus is here now. This is where we all begin. This is just started. Everything else was just preparing a table. He goes, no, we're done. We're done. This is on our contract. In my back of my head, I said, you're done for longer than you know. And then they said, we have another show tomorrow night. I said, now you're double done. This isn't a show or a concert or performance. We're ministering to the bridegroom who has holes in his body still to this day. When you lose that, it's hard to get it back. See, the gifts of the Spirit are given without repentance. And that's, I don't know why it confuses so many of us. Often, and I understand, I used to think the same way when I was young. How could those miracles happen in that meeting when so-and-so's doing that? How can a marriage be jacked up and yet people get out of wheelchairs? How can they steal money and then devils leave? Well, because it's a gift. And that stays with you forever. And you can do a lot of damage when the heart doesn't match the gift. That's what Balaam did. Let me talk about that little click. You got Balaam, you have Judas. Many gifted people. Remember, Judas raised the dead, cleansed the leper, healed the sick, cast out devils. Judas did that. But he was anointed, not with his own anointing. He was anointed under the umbrella of Jesus' ministry that was existing on earth. It's always an important reminder that we understand none of us have an anointing. It's not ours. You cannot steal somebody's anointing. It's not theirs. It's the Lord's. It's also important to remember that Jesus never trashed Judas after Judas's sin because Judas did operate under Jesus's anointing. So even when someone messes up, it doesn't give us liberty to dishonor them. We have to be real careful. If Jesus didn't trash Judas, what we hear in the scriptures regarding Judas is that it were better that he were never born. But Jesus honored the office Judas sat in. The church could use that today. We all have like these expert opinions now on people, on pastors, on preachers, on worship leaders. We're so quick to not show mercy, not realizing we all need it. The greatest way to receive mercy, according to the Beatitudes, is to give it. You want to build a mercy account right now. You need to invest in a mercy account right now. And none of us really know anyone's heart, do we? I said none of us really know anyone's heart, do we? So I went up that stairwell and got in that room. Started preaching. It was so messy. Kids were falling on the ground under the power of God. I started walking through that crowd and someone grabbed me by the shirt and got in my face. It was Lou Engel. Just like the dream the night before, and he shook me and said, "You didn't know you were supposed to be part of the call, but you are." He sounded like Macho Man Randy Savage. I was like, whoa. And so, I love this next part because she's become so dear here. I preached, I went down the stairwell, going back to my car, praying in tongues because I knew I'd be fighting that traffic on the 405. I was already binding devils before I even got in the car. And a girl stopped me. She goes, "Michael." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I want more of Jesus. Can you lay hands on me?" I'll never forget that little spot in that stairwell. It marked me. She said, "My name's Lindy. I want Jesus." I was so marked. Nobody knew her back then. She was playing keys that night. She was singing an old song called "Met by Love." The way those kids were singing that song marked me. I prayed for her and left. And that was that. You never know what the Lord can do in a moment if you're hungry. Who would have thought? Who would have thought all those years ago what the Lord would do? And so we got to Azusa. They said, "Can you come preach at Azusa?" I went. This is what I wanted to share with you. And Heidi was there. And we were kind of blown away that that many people would turn up in America. And she gave us a bit of advice, all of the young preachers and worship leaders. This is what I want to share with you tonight. She said, "Sweetie, We were like, yeah. She said, don't stand up here like a great man of God. I said, okay. She said, stand up here lowly like a little child who needs more. I never forgot that. At Disney, I've been told, I try to avoid it as much as possible, but whatever, it's fun, I guess, in the winter. I've been told there's statues there that look different to the children in comparison to the adults. The lower you get a completely different view of the statue. Jesus was like that. He looks a certain way to the lowly and to the childlike. To the heart that has been there and done that, he loses his beauty. But tonight, as we enter the new year, I want us to enter it like little children who need more bread. I want us to be willing, listen, to lose whatever we have to lose so that we do not lose his touch. A gifting will carry you, but the sweet, light, holy beauty of Jesus is easily forfeited. I'm not talking about a gifting. I'm talking about his touch, his nearness. When that leaves, well, it's a long road ahead. And there are so many opportunities that sound like the Lord. I for the sake of privacy, I won't share everything. You're just going to have to just hear some of my statements. The devil will negotiate with you. He'll make a deal. He will. We see this with Pharaoh. Pharaoh finally capitulates, and Moses is constantly saying, we want to go. I want to go worship. We want our people to go worship. And Pharaoh says, fine, you can go, but leave your children behind, right? But and Moses says, no, absolutely not. We're all going, even the animals. The devil will negotiate. And the devil wins if it's a 99% and a 1% split. This hour we're in is certainly the bridal hour. It is the hour of Matthew 25. It is the hour of the wise and the foolish virgins. This is not the hour to give an inch to compromise. I want to finish more in love with Jesus than when I started. That's all I care about now. I don't care about anything else. I don't want to forfeit that so that I can pastor, and I have no plans of not being your pastor, by the way. I love being your pastor, but if building a big church is the price of losing first love, then I'd rather just be hemmed up in that fellowship hall with 30 of you. You know? I love that three of the songs that we sang tonight came from encounters with God, where the team heard audible voices just over the head on over our heads on one of them. He is Wonderful came because they heard audible voices singing. I love that. There's no pressure there. You sing what heaven sings and you don't sing what heaven's not singing. You write what heaven gives and you don't write what heaven doesn't give. And maybe you don't release as many songs as other people, but at least you're offering silver, gold, and precious stones, right? Campuses planted, I guess it could be good. And I don't know. Is the marker for success as a church family, is it about how many campuses we have or how many people come here? I don't know how many people come here. People ask me all the time. I can honestly tell them, I don't know. How big's your church? I don't know. I think it's 100,000 square feet. That's what I heard. That's what I heard. I don't want to get caught in that rat race. It could change me. Life's hard enough as it is. I'll never forget Bill Johnson saying to me, my heart is a garden and I have the key to it. I have the key to the gate, he said, and I'm very careful what and who I let in. That's my responsibility. I think sometimes we trust ourselves too much. I remember, Oral Roberts was a dear friend. He dedicated my oldest boy. I'll never forget. I said, Oral Roberts dedicated you. He goes, is that a big deal? I go, it's pretty good. I mean, my godparents were like drunk Greek people. So I was like, buddy, it's really good. He's running camera somewhere around here. But it just is what it is. I'll just say it. He said to me the other day, Baba, I want to preach the gospel. I said, wow. I said, Oral said that about you. He said, what did he say? I said, Oral said that you would know your gifts at a young age. He goes, is that good? I go, just keep going, whatever. One day, a man who carried the cross around the world named Arthur Blessed came to ORU back in the 80s. I want you to hear me now. These aren't my words, these were Oral's. And he said it publicly, so I'm not uncovering him. He said, after Arthur shared all these testimonies about carrying his cross through war zones and unreached people groups, he said he was just beaming with love for Jesus. And Oral took the platform. He said, I used to be like him. Humble, huh? He said, I used to be like him, but at some point, the business of all this got on me. And I want that. One day, I told the Lord, is this okay tonight? Sorry, there's no PowerPoint. That's the best PowerPoint, by the way. I told the Lord, I don't know if I can do these events every year. They're killing me. Because you wear them. They're on you. There's a pressure. I think we still need $100,000 to make budget for Jesus 23. And if any of you would like to give it, we feel led to receive. But people say, I feel led to give that. I said, we feel led to receive it. Yeah. But that weight gets on you. I remember, and Jesse's the best in those settings. One time a person came in, they wanted like extra assistance. Not assistance, like people. They wanted actual people, assistance. And Jesse's like, why do you need so many assistants? And they're like, well, one of them irons my clothes. Jess goes, peace, you're out. famous person. Bye-bye. It's good to have a wife like that who protects the glory. These things get on you. They're wonderful in this presence, and that's why I can't wait to get onto the platform. It's not because I love being in front of people. I hate it. My greatest fear was public speaking. I do it every once in a while now. I love to get up here because it's just me and him. That's why we worship so long. That's why I didn't close the set, because, you know, he's wonderful. I've had those moments where I get up here and I hear the Lord go, here we are now. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. That can wear on you, you know, the pressure of it all. And you just want to be with him, and you find protection in that glory. If that lifts, you just become an employee. And you end up building Pharaoh's cities. That's what Pharaoh did to the Israelites. He placed them in bondage. And they weren't only enslaved, but he forced them to build his own cities. When the children of God are enslaved, they don't understand that they begin building the cities of the enemy. And it takes an uncompromising Moses to come in and say, we're getting out of here. Where are we going? To the mountain of glory, to the mountain of worship. I'm taking you to the place where I met the Lord. That's ministry, guys. The call of God is simply this: you take people to your Sinai. That's it. But if you don't have a Sinai, you've got nowhere to take them. There have been times down there, I'll sit down there, and I can tell the team's going, where do I go? Where do we go? What do we do? It's been an hour. And that's when I go, let's go another 30 minutes. I want to see where they're going to go. I want to know. Because it shows me if they have a Sinai in private. It's wonderful coaching. I used to watch Bill do that. Sometimes the worst of it is we'll look down and it's Bill coming up, and he'd just be like, with that little face, you know. Have fun walking on water. I'll be up there in a little while. You need your Sinai, or you've got nowhere to bring people. So I told the Lord, how long do I need to do these every year? These events. Can I just be raw with you guys? I said, I don't know if I can do this every year until I die. And the Lord said, who said you had to do them every year? And I go, oh. He said, you came up with that. He said, now I want you to do it this year and the next, but this every year thing you came up with. And we weary ourselves, listen, by adding to the simplicity of God's assignment. God's assignment is simple. I said, God's assignment is simple. Bring them to Sinai. What does a good church do? They usher you into the presence of Jesus. What does a good ministry school do? Daily, every session, they bring you into the presence of Jesus. And they trust Jesus to do the work. What does a good evangelist do? They tell you about Jesus. What does a good worship leader do? They bring you into the presence of Jesus and get out of the way. You know, when I lost my voice, you guys know this, the church doubled in size when I lost my voice. It wasn't the most comforting sign from God. In one way it was. In another way, I thought, oh, I'm incredibly replaceable. When Jess took over, the church doubled. It was certainly a journey for me to get through that. Like, wow, okay, when I don't talk, things do better here. What a healthy arrival. But we need to trust Jesus to change people's lives, not add to the simplicity of it all. So what do I want for 2024? I want a more simple love for Jesus. I want to give him permission tonight to take his holy sword, to everything I have added, and I want him to destroy it. That's what I want. And here's the deal. He's not going to do that without our permission tonight. I want to offer him all that he is not on his heart in my life, not just the ministry, in my life, with my time. With my time. With my time. I'm going to say that again. With my time. This is the time to buy oil. Look, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you love the scriptures, you have to be blind to not believe that Jesus is coming soon. The greater king than David is the only hope for the Middle East. Jesus himself, and when I mean himself, I mean his tangible reality, his presence, and the clear teaching of his gospel is the only hope for America. It is the only hope for worshiping communities. Jesus himself, the actual Lord. If you believe that Jesus is coming back, you have to believe it is time to buy oil. Now, here's the thing about purchasing oil and storing oil is that you've got to do it on your own. That does not come through impartation. Healing can, words of knowledge can, prophecy can, the working of miracles can, the word of wisdom can, the gift of faith can, tongues and interpretation, that can be imparted through prayer. But buying oil, that only happens when you go into your room and close the door. It's the only way to get it. One-on-one with Jesus, one-on-one with your bridegroom. You can't substitute that for services at Jesus Image, as important as the gathering of the saints are. No. Can't get that by watching a stream or a download or a video. You don't get oil that way. Oil comes through head-on collisions. Oil comes, listen, I'm talking to you prophetically now. Oil comes through the slow drip in the glory. Oil comes through private interaction. Now here's the beauty. Life is hard. People are mean. And as a race, we are stupid. It's amazing how dumb we are and how long we stay dumb and how long we refuse somebody trying to help us not be dumb. We're stubbornly dumb, which is double dumb. Being dumb and being stubborn is one of the most horrific combinations, yet it is so common, which is what makes us dumb. Life is difficult. Do you know what you cannot cling to through difficulty and pain and heartbreak and betrayal? You cannot cling to a gift. You don't get to cling to your resume. No, you don't cling to your experience. No. You know what you cling to? Oil that you purchased for years prior to it. I don't think our team would care. I love them. They know I love them. I love them. I mean, there's no group I'd rather worship with. They're family. We've had talks that sounded like this. I love y'all so much. But you need to know that Jesus was coming into these services when you were in middle school. You need to know that. I remember when I'd work Pastor Benny's crusades, Jess and I would have conversations that were dumb. So stupid. As dumb as you could possibly imagine. We'd be like, I wonder if the meetings will still be good if we're not working in those stadiums. And her dad would go, oh, sweetie, Jesus was coming into my room in 1971. You were born in 1982. He bought oil. And here's the beauty about buying oil. When you go through hell, deep in your soul, deep, deep, deep in your soul, sometimes it's even hard to articulate it. Something deep in your soul goes, you can't steal this from me on your best day, devil. Not unless I give it away. And you can. I told our team, if I have to sit on that platform, I don't need an instrument. Because I have a history with Jesus. I mean, Jesus' image started with Ryan on a cajon. On a box drum. He don't even play drums or nothing. He just started beating away at it. And Aaron would sing so loud in the fellowship hall, with the little kid, little group of people around. I'm like, man, this dude's going for it. Does he know we're not in a stadium? There's just 70 of us in here. And the Lord spoke to me and said, one day he'll sing in arenas and stadiums. And he is. You see, when you have history with the Lord, you buy oil, it puts an anchor in your being. You better buy it now. You better buy it. Get it now. And here's what I want to say before we receive communion, because we're getting to the countdown. When do we start that countdown, by the way? Like 2 minutes out? How do you do this? David knows. David would know. He's been a part of that. Okay. What was I saying? Buy oil. Yeah. Buy oil. Here's how you do it. Listen. Here's how you do it. You look at your calendar and you make Jesus the number one priority. And everything else works around him. Your travel, your family, all of it. It works around the secret place. The secret place is the bullseye, the nucleus of all you do. And you don't fit the secret place in to your already crafted pre-existing schedule. You make Jesus number one and you prove it through the time you spend with him. You actually write it into your calendar or type it into your Google calendar. Time with Jesus on Tuesday. My mornings belong to Jesus. When you have a spare day, I dare you to give him that day. You have one encounter with him. You'll forget about all the time you spent with him. It won't feel like a price. He will fry the price with the glory that comes from his face. You'll forget you ever spent an hour with him. If an hour feels hard, if Jesus just sticks his pinky finger into your prayer room, you'll forget you ever spent an hour. He captures everything. And he overrides and overshadows anything, any offering we bring. You open your Bible. I didn't get to John 1. We'll do it another time. You open your Bible. You know, it's interesting to me. When they asked Richard Wurmbrand, the number one tip or bit of advice he would give someone, he did 13 years, I believe, in solitary confinement. He said, what bit of advice would you give people, Christians who are walking through trial? He said, tell them to prayerfully meditate and memorize Holy Scripture. Yes. When Brother Yoon was here, what was that, 2 weeks ago? He told us to be part of his discipleship movement. You have to memorize a chapter a day. That sounds like very controlling, toxic leadership. No. It sounds like being a Christian. It sounds like being pastored. It sounds like being discipled. It sounds like being called higher. It sounds like storing oil for the days to come. Now, here's what happens, and this is what I'm going to leave you with. When the enemy comes to make a deal, to compromise, once you've tasted the sweetness of his presence, listen, that sweetness becomes your food. And a second without that touch sounds like hell on earth. Joel, can you help me? I want to read this to you. One of my favorite psalms. I'll give you the right version. And we'll pray. And we'll receive communion. Can we get the communion ready? Go to Psalm 137. This is so powerful. Just stay with me here. Look at verse 1. Can we throw it up just to save time? Okay. Listen to this verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. Listen, for there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Look at verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? That's what the devil does. He takes your gifting, listen, he takes your calling and wants you to perform and do the preaching thing or do the church thing. You're no longer near the Jordan. You're not in the land of glory. You're in Babylon now. And now your captors want you to sing them a song or preach a message or run a small group or run the youth group or work the children's church. The devil wants our heart to leave the Holy Land and do the same thing in Babylon. Now you hear the song of the psalmist. How can I sing in verse 4 the Lord's song in a foreign land? In other words, how can I do what I'm called to do without his oily presence? Tonight, what I want to call us to and invite us to is carrying our cross into 24 and committing tonight to live and burn for Jesus. Can we do that? I think what we should do before we receive communion, I don't think we need to do a countdown thing and scream and do all that. Do we? Do you really want to do it? No? Okay. I'm not sure it fits the flow of the meeting. I don't think it would. Why don't we enter 2024 receiving the body and blood of Jesus? I think that sounds better. Can we do that? Without anyone moving tonight, unless you're on the team, can you take a moment? For some of you, living for yourself is just natural. I want to invite you tonight to die to all that and come to Jesus. For others, you've assumed a weight that Jesus never gave you. I want to invite you tonight to lay that down. Regardless of the fact, whether it's the first time you've ever laid anything down, maybe you need to lay your entire life down and come to Jesus for the first time, or maybe you've added a weight that is plaguing you and you know it and you're searching. And I can tell you tonight that the Lord brought you into his presence tonight to do you well. And that's what he said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, I am meek, I'm lowly in heart. This is the heart of Jesus. This is what he does. All of us can ask the Lord to receive the weights we offer him. Can we do that tonight? Can we all stand? If you're bound in sin, you can be free tonight. You just come to Jesus. You repent of your sin. But do not receive, listen, do not receive Holy Communion tonight. Do not receive it without having repented, turning from your sins and coming to Jesus. This is the meal for the children. This is a covenant meal. The Bible says when we receive it unworthily, we can become sick and even die early. I want to invite us all tonight. For those of you who've never given your life to Jesus, if it's been just a routine, give him your life tonight. This is a beautiful, beautiful way to enter the new year. Can we lift our hands to heaven? I want us to pray this out loud, and only the Lord could time something like this. I've got about 30 seconds to go. We are going to pray a fresh commitment to the Lord Jesus as we enter 2024. Father in heaven, repeat after me. Father in heaven, I come to you wanting you, Lord Jesus, to receive my life. Wash me of my sin. Tonight I lay aside every weight that so easily entangles us. Help me walk in to 2024, burning for Jesus. Take my life this year and use it for your name's sake. Draw me into your presence. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Let this year be a year of glory. We just entered the new year. Let this year, come on, say it. Let this year be a year of glory. Let this year be a year of oil. Let this year be the year of purchasing gold that no man can take. Pull my heart into the treasures of the Spirit. Set my mind on things above, where Christ is. Jesus, let me love you in 2024 more than I've ever loved you. Clear my vision so I can see your face. Come on, a fresh surrender right now. Take my life, Lord. Take my future. Take my decisions. Take my heart. Purify us in Jesus' mighty name. Can we give the Lord praise? Happy New Year. Come on, give the Lord praise.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like and subscribe to help us continue to reach people around the world with the gospel. Give today at jesusimage.tv/give. You can also join us in person or online every Sunday at Jesus Image Church. For more information on Jesus Image, events, Jesus School, and resources, visit jesusimage.tv.